40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for members of the USA's 2016 Olympic and Paralympic teams. It's a rainy day here in Washington, but that couldn't dampen the enthusiasm of the Olympians and Paralympians who were welcomed at the White House Thursday by President Obama and his wife, First Lady Michelle Obama. Before the Olympics, President Obama talked about the diversity on Team USA.
Our athletes hail from 46 states, D.C., and the Virgin Islands. Our team boasts the most women who have ever competed for any nation at any Olympic Games. It includes active duty members of our military and our veterans. We've got basketball players who stand nearly 7 feet tall and a gymnast who's 4'8". And Team USA spans generations. A few athletes who are almost as old as I am, and one born just a year before my younger daughter. Our roster includes a gymnast from Texas who's so trailblazing they named a flip after her, a young woman who persevered through a tough childhood in Flint, Michigan to become the first American woman to win gold in the boxing ring, and a fencing champion from suburban Jersey who will become the first American Olympian to wear a hijab while competing. And on our Paralympic team, we're honored to be represented by a Navy veteran who lost his sight while serving in Afghanistan and continues to show us what courage looks like every time he jumps in the pool. To all of our Olympic and Paralympic athletes wearing the red, white, and blue, know that your country couldn't be prouder of you. Thank you for showing the world the best of America.
Before the White House ceremony, the U.S. Olympic Committee announced the following awards here in Washington. Swimmer Katie Ledecky was named Team USA's Female Athlete of the Rio 2016 Olympics. And swimmer Michael Phelps was named Team USA's Male Athlete of the Olympics. The U.S. Women's Gymnastics Team was named the Rio 2016 Team of the Olympics. Wheelchair athlete Tatiana McFadden was named Team USA's Female Athlete of the Rio 2016 Paralympics. And swimmer Brad Snyder was named the Male Athlete of the Paralympics. The U.S. Women's Sitting Volleyball Team was selected as the Team of the Rio 2016 Paralympics. Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky led a dominating performance by the USA swimming team at the 2016 Olympics. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this report from VOA's Park Brewer in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
In the final event on the last night of swimming at the 2016 Summer Games, the 31-year-old Phelps capped off his incomparable Olympic career with a gold medal in the men's 4x100-meter medley relay. It gave him 5 golds and 1 silver medal in Rio and 23 career golds in his total of 28 Olympic medals. So could he change his mind about competing at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics?
This is it. I'm done. I couldn't be happier with how I finished my career, and there's no better way than finishing with a gold medal, that's for sure.
There's a good chance Phelps could now go into coaching. So with no Phelps, who might take over as the new face of American swimming? Most are betting on 19-year-old Katie Ledecky. At age 15, she surprisingly won the women's 800-meter freestyle at the 2012 London Olympics. Since then, her career has skyrocketed. The freestyle specialist won 4 gold medals and broke 2 world records at the 2013 World Championships, then did even better at the Worlds last year, winning 5 gold medals and breaking 3 world records. In Rio, Ledecky won 3 individual freestyle races and took gold and silver in the freestyle relays.
I've met all my goals, and I think, more importantly, I've had more fun than I could have ever imagined.
Ledecky is still an amateur and heads off for Stanford University in California to study and swim on her college team. Overall, the United States led all nations in the swim events in Rio with 16 golds and 33 total medals. Australia and Hungary were a distant second with 3 gold medals each. The Australians won 10 total medals. Hungary and Japan each had 7. 16 nations in all won Rio swimming medals, but host nation Brazil was shut out. History was made in the 100-meter butterfly, where Phelps won silver. 21-year-old Joseph Schooling touched the wall first, becoming the first-ever Olympic champion from Singapore. And the U.S. Olympic team also achieved a milestone on the final night of swimming. When the women's 4x100-meter relay team won the gold medal, it was the 1,000th gold medal all-time for Team USA at the Summer Games, dating back to the first modern Olympics in 1896. Park Brewer, VOA News, at the Rio Olympics.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the sunny side of sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, those addresses: Facebook.com/VOA Sunny and my Twitter handle @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page today, Thursday, you'll see a photo of Eneka Ogwumike of the Los Angeles Sparks going up for a shot in a WNBA playoff game against the Chicago Sky. Now, I want our Voice of America listeners, our many VOA listeners in Nigeria, to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm told Eneka means Mother is Supreme in the Igbo language. Well, Eneka has been one of the supreme players this season in the Women's National Basketball Association. In fact, earlier this week, Ogwumike was named the WNBA's most valuable player. She averaged career highs of almost 20 points and 9 rebounds a game during the regular season. And on Wednesday night, Eneka scored 27 points and grabbed 10 rebounds to help spark the Sparks to a 95-75 victory over the visiting Chicago Sky in a WNBA semifinal playoff series. The Sparks now lead that best-of-five-game series 1-0. In the other semifinal series, the Minnesota Lynx defeated the Phoenix Mercury 113-95, and Minnesota now leads 1-0. Getting back to Eneka Ogwumike, well, she's the 3rd member of the Los Angeles Sparks to be named the WNBA's most valuable player. Teammate Candace Parker, who scored a game-high 30 points and grabbed 9 rebounds Wednesday night, was named MVP in 2008 and 2013. And the now-retired Lisa Leslie was named the WNBA's most valuable player 3 times. Leslie is also a 4-time Olympic champion, and she was inducted last year into the Basketball Hall of Fame along with this Congolese giant.
This is Dikeme Mutombo. I am from Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Now let's go to Cairo, Egypt, where African football leaders on Thursday elected Guinea's Amami Kabele Kamara and Ghana's Kwesi Nyantachi to represent the continent on the expanded 36-member FIFA Council. Kamara is the Confederation of African Football's second vice president, and Nyantachi is the president of the Ghana Football Association. They'll complete a 7-member African delegation at a meeting in mid-October of the FIFA Council in Zurich. Among those in Cairo was FIFA President Gianni Infantino.
Because Africa has a very, very important role in football. And this, I was saying it during my campaign, you know that. But it shouldn't be only words, because many people are saying this and have said this. We have to move from the words to the action. And we have to give Africa, of course, the place it deserves in world football, the place it deserves for everything that Africa is doing for world football, for all the talents which are playing everywhere in the world, in Europe, in Asia, in America, everywhere.
That's FIFA President Gianni Infantino, speaking Thursday in Cairo, Egypt. One of the topics scheduled to be discussed at next month's FIFA Council meeting in Switzerland is expansion of the World Cup from 32 to 40 teams. Africa currently has 5 guaranteed places at the World Cup. At the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, Algeria and Nigeria were both eliminated in the round of 16, and Ghana, Cameroon, and Ivory Coast did not advance out of the group stage. There will be 10 qualifying matches next week in Africa for the 2018 World Cup in Russia, and they'll be played over the weekend of October 7th to October 9th. Let's take a quick look at the fixtures. Ghana will host Uganda in Tamale. 2017 Nations Cup host Gabon is at home in Franceville against Morocco. The Democratic Republic of Congo will host Libya in Kinshasa. Ivory Coast is at home against Mali in Bouake. Burkina Faso will host South Africa in Ouagadougou. Senegal is at home against the Cape Verde Islands in Dakar. Zambia will host Nigeria in Ndola. Congo-Brazzaville is at home against Egypt. Tunisia will host Guinea in Monastir. And the Desert Foxes of Algeria are at home against the indomitable Lions of Cameroon in what should be a cracker of a qualifier between teams that were both at Brazil 2014. This third and final round of African qualifying for the 2018 World Cup will go through early November 2017. At that point, we'll know the 5 African group winners who will be representing the continent in Russia. One of the top athletes at this year's Paralympics in Brazil was Swiss wheelchair racer Marcel Hug. Marcel won the men's wheelchair race at last weekend's BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany, clocking 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 51 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards, once again showing us his deceptive speed, caught up with Marcel Hug before the race. Here's Andy.
I'm in Berlin and with one of the great Paralympic wheelchair athletes of all time, certainly of the modern era, Marcel Hug of Switzerland. interesting stories to tell. He's fresh, indeed, 2 weeks fresh, from winning four medals at the Paralympics in Rio. That included 800 metres on the track, gold, and gold in the marathon. And what do you know, he's going to be doing the BMW Berlin Marathon, the wheelchair division, on Sunday. Marcel, for wheelchair races, I mean, we know the elite can recover quite quickly. So 2 weeks since, since Rio, do you feeling strong enough?
Yeah, I feel good physically. I feel good. I had a good recovery. Mentally, it's quite difficult. I'm a little bit tired. But I think until Sunday, I will be ready also for my mind.
How does Berlin compare? I mean, do you know the course well? You talk about people. You were on stage in the press conference with Heinz Frey, also from Switzerland, who's been coming to Berlin for 20 plus years. Is it a course you prepare specially for?
It's a nice course. It has a little bit of everything, a lot of turns, but it's quite flat. So I had not to prepare too many uphills or downhills. So I think the preparation was good for Rio. The Rio Marathon was also quite flat. So the preparation was good. For Berlin, it was a quite short preparation because the focus was for Rio. But I feel good.
How does the development of the Abbott World Marathon Majors, the wheelchair division, count for you? I mean, you're an elite racer. Your job, your profession is wheelchair racing. We now have the wheelchairs in the World Marathon Majors. Has that made a big difference to how you prepare and compete?
Yeah, I think the major series makes a big change. It gives us an opportunity to compete in a higher level. And it's very important for us to be in this major series, and that Berlin also is in this series is great.
I noticed just reading, I mean, it's a quote from you. You tell me whether it's accurate or not. I think it's something like you said, I'm a professional athlete in a wheelchair. I'm not someone who's doing this sport because I'm in a wheelchair. Tell me if that's right, and just what your feelings, your attitude behind that is.
Yeah, that's right. I just like sport. Sport is my passion, and I feel like an athlete. And for me, it doesn't matter if I am in wheelchair or not. It's just the challenge what makes it. I like the challenge in the sport.
Well, we wish you every success in the BMW Berlin Marathon on Sunday. Marcel Hugo, Switzerland, and many more years competing also in the World Marathon Majors. Thanks, Marcel.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that pre-race interview with Marcel Hug. Post-race, yes, Marcel was successful. He won the men's wheelchair race in Berlin. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world?
Well, I think if I had to give a theme to these three trending stories, I'd say it's good sportsmanship, or people being good sports. And we'll start with Rafael Nadal playing a exhibition doubles match when there's a commotion in the stands, and ends up being a mother who's in tears, and she's searching for her daughter who's lost. So Nadal is about to serve. He actually stopped the match so that this mother could try to find her child. And to the crowd's credit, they all start looking. They call out her name was Clara. They call it Clara, Clara, and they're looking for this little girl. Well, they find her. The little girl is in tears. She's crying because she's lost her mother. The mother is crying because she's lost her daughter. They reunite and embrace. Everybody claps and cheers in the stands. But it was a really touching moment that Nadal stopped the match and realized that there are some things, and it was an exhibition match, but some things more important than sport. And fans took notice on social media of saying what a guy Nadal is, true class act, a true gentleman, and one of the nicest guys in sports. It reinforces that. So good sportsmanship on Nadal's part, and good sportsmanship from the crowd. They could have, booed or something because they stopped the match, but they went and tried to help this woman find her daughter, and everybody cheered when she found her. So it was a really nice moment in that viral video spreading across social media.
Good sport indeed, Rafa. And in fact, I remember at the recent U.S. Open, Andrew, there was footage of Rafa after he was eliminated, leaving the grounds of the stadium complex there in New York. And he was very friendly with one of the drivers. And they said Rafa is probably one of the more well-liked players on the men's professional tour. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think he's, you know, there are some players that everybody kind of knows are these just nice people, that they're nice to be around. Rafa is definitely one of them, a good sport, you know, jokes around sometimes, has some fun. And so those are the players that the fans, you know, really end up liking across sports. You know, we talked about yesterday David Ortiz doing that undercover lift drive, saying that he's one of the most universally liked players in baseball because he is such a good sport and a great person to be around. Which leads me to my second trending story, a great sport in the NBA as the NBA season gets set to kick off on October 25th. James Harden, the point guard for the Houston Rockets. Some footage released of him practicing with the Rockets, and two things that fans were struck by. The first is that James Harden comes out and he's wearing these short shorts, John Stockton-esque short shorts. You know, of course, the, right. The shorts started in the early 90s, started to get longer and longer in the National Basketball Association, and James Harden's bringing back rocking the short shorts. So fans are saying that's they hope that he wears them in the season, and they said regardless of how he plays, if he wears the short shorts, he'll be MVP in their mind. So that was kind of a fun thing that he did. And the other thing, they're playing music as they're practicing, and he's running up and down the court, lip-syncing to Adele's Hello. And a lot of people tweeting and saying, duh, everybody loves Adele, of course. He's, you know, singing along to Adele. But James Harden, like Rafa, is one of these players that is just kind of, you know, such a good sport. He has a lot of fun on the court. He's just kind of a goofball, and fans took notice of that, and they say, you know, this is such a fun guy in addition to being a great player.
Now, I want to make sure, Andrew, Harden still has his beard, right? That's one of my favorite beards in basketball.
Still has the beard and still rocking that. And then, you know, in addition to these moments on the court, then fans started sharing their other favorite moments. It's a popular gif of him kind of rolling his eyes and walking away from a reporter. Video of him dancing, and he's kind of doing some silly dancing, and it looked like it was a wedding. So some very cool moments from James Harden, but a great sport and shows that, you know, you can be a great competitor but also have some fun with it as well.
And just a quick update for our VOA listeners, NBA teams, James Harden, the players, they basically gathered for training camps this week, preseason training camps. They'll play some exhibition games, and then a new NBA season, a lot to look forward to, Andrew.
Kicking off October 25th, I believe it's the Cavaliers and the New York Knicks kick off the season. So we'll have more on that in the coming month as that season gets ready to kick off.
And speaking of the New York Knicks, I understand a player with New York ties is also a good sport.
Yes. Well, this is a good sport on the field in the true sense of actually being good at your sport. And that's Tim Tebow, of course, great college football champion with the University of Florida, played in the National Football League here in the U.S., Not too much success there, so he said, let me try my hand at baseball. Signed by the New York Mets to that Development League contract, which is kind of the low rung. You start to work your way up to Major League Baseball. Goes up for his first at-bat in the Development League. This is his first ever Major League Baseball at-bat in the Major League Baseball system. First pitch, hits a home run. Crowd goes wild. The video goes viral. So he's a good sport in terms of being able to play baseball. People saying, well, maybe he could actually play. But the other good sport in this story is John Kilichowski, who was the pitcher who threw that ball. John Kilichowski tweeting out, he said, I thought we agreed you were taking the first pitch, Tim Tebow. In other words, that he was going to watch the pitch go by and not hit it in baseball terms. So they had a nice little back and forth on Twitter. So Kilichowski, even though he gave up that home run, was a good sport. And actually, he's a huge Florida Gators fan. So he's a big fan of Tim Tebow's work. Of course, Tim Tebow was with the Florida Gators football team, college football team, won national championships with them.
Quickly, Andrew, do you think Tim Tebow can make it to the major leagues?
If he keeps crushing the ball like he did, then I think he will. We'll see if he continues that kind of hitting and that kind of power. But I think there are a lot of fans now who are taking notice. Before, he was kind of a laughingstock a little bit or a joke. Not so much anymore.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And we'll hear from you again on Friday. And that wraps up the September 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Every 60 seconds, an average of 27 girls under the age of 18 are married. As child brides, these girls often drop out of school. Their economic opportunities are limited, and they have an increased risk of serious health concerns, from violence to sexually transmitted diseases like HIV/AIDS. The United States is working to increase the participation of women across the board, including in the formal workforce, said Ambassador at Large for Global Women's Issues Catherine Russell in recent congressional testimony. Because we know that women's full participation is good for women, and it's also good for their families and their countries. But child marriage is a major barrier to that participation. It strips girls of their ability to learn and contribute to their societies and economies. Indeed, married girls are less likely to send their own children to school and to get them immunized. Child marriage happens for a variety of reasons, including traditional gender roles, poverty, violence, and insecurity. And each of these drivers can be made worse by state fragility, conflict, and humanitarian emergencies. There is no single solution that can address child marriage once and for all. That's why the United States takes a holistic approach, from health and safety to education and economic opportunity to the rights of women and girls around the world. The Let Girls Learn initiative, launched by President Barack Obama, is aimed at designing new, holistic programs for adolescent girls. These programs will be created, funded, and implemented by USAID and the State Department in partnership with select countries. The United States is committed to helping girls attain the freedom, the rights, and the tools they need to reach their full potential. Because when girls are empowered, their communities are safer, their economies are stronger, and their countries more likely to reach their full potential.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America. escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee it.